the camera. Don't watch me. I'm going to pass out.
Hanes commemorates 100 years of incorporation with a photo and a picnic in the hot sun. And an experiment down south could help energy costs in the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories up next. A home in Angoon is getting a $100,000 retrofit to test energy-efficient technology. Southeast tribal and environmental groups hope the house will show that solar, wind, and other upgrades are practical for Southeast villages like Klukwan and other areas like the Chilkat Valley. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Angoon, like most diesel-dependent villages, is struggling with the high cost of energy. It's trying to build a hydropower plant to generate electricity, but that's several years off.
A lot of families struggle, especially during the winter, because our electricity rate is so high. Also, oil to heat our houses is really high.
Marcy Kukesh works for the Angoon Business Center. It's one of the groups trying an alternative approach to reducing village energy costs. Dan Lesh, energy coordinator for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, says it has outdated appliances, inadequate insulation, and other energy wasters. The project aims to fix all that.
We're going to be removing the siding and putting on a whole new layer of rigid foam. We'll be replacing a lot of the appliances within the house.
SEAC and the Business Center are partnering with the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority and others to retrofit the home.
And we'll be installing and already have installed energy management equipment that will help the occupant know how much energy is being used. And there will be solar panels and a solar hot water system. And we're also going to be testing out a small wind generator.
The goal is to reduce energy costs 65%. The project is pegged at about $105,000. That's far more than most village residents could afford, even with help from tribal and other government energy rebate programs. Lesh says the sponsoring groups know that, but they expect the project will help them understand which energy-saving elements work best in Southeast.
We're testing out technologies that may not ultimately be cost-effective in this setting, but you know that calculus changes with different government programs, and if you look over a longer time scale where you're trying to get paid back, you can justify more upfront expense.
Work will begin in early September. Sponsors will document the effort and produce an educational film in hopes of inspiring others to try similar energy-saving approaches.
Potentially, this project, we're hoping, will expand into an outreach and educational component that includes LED light bulbs replacement throughout the region.
Organizers say replacing bulbs in Angoon homes could save 430,000 gallons of diesel a year, costing about $75,000. Further efforts in Hoona, Cake, Klukwan, and the Chilkat Valley could save 2.5 million gallons of diesel, worth more than $350,000. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
To celebrate a full century of government in Haines, hundreds stood still right in the middle of Main Street on Sunday, under sedating sun, waiting together to say cheese.
You're Ron.
Uh-huh.
I'm Jan Hill.
Hi, Jan.
Thank you for doing this. Do you need us to make any kind of announcements or anything? Because the band has a microphone.
No, I know, but you know what? By the time I get this set up, it'll become pretty obvious, and then
okay.
I get really loud.
Ron Klein was a photographer. He took center stage down the double yellow line in the front of the primary school to set up for the panoramic. In the background, a 10-foot-long grill warmed up for burgers and hot dogs, compliments of the Haines borough, and side dishes, compliments of the people of Haines.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of stress involved, and I'm trying to make it look like it's not stressful. And then when it's finally over, it's over. And here you've got adrenaline, which is of course that natural body's heroin to get you higher than a kite, and it's got to go somewhere. Kiss the film, you bet. You got to kiss the film. You need every bit of luck that there can be with this job.
Musicians from Swing Set and the Fish Pickers warmed up, and estimates from 400 to 500 residents warmed up too. The day's temperatures topped out in the upper 70s. With no cloud cover.
Much harder when it's hot. The film is custom made and it costs $150 per shot. So it's not a cheap operation. But that's okay, because I mean, if I had to shoot 10 shots, I would have done it. You got to shoot till you think you've got it. You know, I mean, it's nutty, but that's how it is. This camera came from an old photographer in Los Angeles named Dick Whittington. He was a famous panoramic photographer. And I bought it. He was 95 years old, and he didn't want to sell it. He, you know, it meant a lot to him, too. He still wanted to use it. But I have more of them. I have 12 of this particular model. It's a very rare camera. Only 1,100 were made. So I have 1% of them is all.
Klein has used that particular camera to shoot more than 3,000 panoramics of human groups, landscapes, and cityscapes over the last 30 years.
Here's my lens. It's a Turner Reich triple convertible, and it was patented May 14, 1895. You're asking why I'm putting it in the box? Because it's a triple convertible. You take part of it apart, and it changes focal length. So we're only using the rear element of the lens. Going to go from probably Tom's bumper wrapped around to in here somewhere, and some of those people will be dark. It's just what it is.
And as everyone pushed and squeezed past their neighbors for the perfect spot, Klein scampered, sweat, and visualized.
Once I put the camera up, people get the idea, and then they'll start coming. But we got to quickly get the chairs positioned as how it looks in the camera, because even though we can draw a circle on the ground because the ground is uneven, the chairs won't look right. But on the camera, I have to push some forward and some backwards, that kind of thing. Then people can gather in, and while they're doing that, that's how it'll work. I want kids in the ground, and this fellow in the wheelchair is way too close, and he's not going to be in the picture. The guy that's with the suspenders and that lady next to him are probably the cutoff, and they're even too close. Because see the line that's right behind them? Yeah, that's the line. You get way the hell over here where there's an empty hole.
Okay.
You're going to have to walk around the back because the edge of the photo, this lady's bicycle is not going to be in the picture.
This bicycle right here?
Right. That's not going
to...
That's
so
not
everybody
gonna,
needs
okay.
to be that way.
Right. But we'll get them.
Everybody is here to head over there behind all these people, and he's up above, so everybody will be in the picture. People okay. think if they're behind there, they won't be seen.
All I have to do now is climb up one more time and make sure everybody's in the photo, and then climb back down and pick the correct gear to use to take the photo. You guys, take a big step back! Take a big step!
Klein shoots his panoramics with film and develops everything in his own darkroom in Juneau. But he does use modern precautions, although reluctantly.
This is my digital backup, just in case. It also gives me the exposure I need. My vision is getting worse. What was that shot at? 3/20 at F11. Okay, got it. Okay, one more backup for the guys that weren't paying attention. Hey, in the back, put your pants on! Okay, here we go. Look. Click, 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 click. Oh, dead battery. Just a minute. It ain't clicking, that's why. Now you know why I hate digital.
The camera comes in a big briefcase-type carrying case. It sits on top of a 6-foot tripod with a small platform top that can spin like a Lazy Susan, so the camera can move from one end to the other of the panorama.
My camera is called a circuit camera, and it was made in 1920, the version I'm using today, although it has a lens that's much older, 1895. So we're spanning three centuries here, right? 1895, yeah. It's 115 years old. That's cool. This is it. This is not a drill. We're doing it. Pay attention. Come on, here we go. Watch the camera, please. Over here. Watch the camera. Don't watch me. I'm going to pass out. Hold still, everybody! I'm taking your picture! I really am! Hold still! We're gonna get
at him too wide. Thank you. Thank you.
Is it the high you hoped for?
Higher.
And a shoe too. I'm higher than a kite. And this one was a matter of shooting from the sun behind my back to straight into the sun because it's a rotational camera. So a lot has to go through your head. How are you going to expose it? Is it going to work? That's why I had to shoot two negatives because I just don't know.
Anyone interested in ordering a copy of the Hainstown portrait, call the Sheldon Museum at 766-2366 and leave your contact information.
I am winding down. You can see if you had approached me 10 minutes ago, I would have been talking really, really fast and just hyper because of all the mental planning that I went through and the pacing it out. I'm trying to make it look really casual and really easy, but I'm thinking really hard about, oh man, are they too close to the camera? Is that going to be in focus? Is this going to be blah, 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 blah? You know, I'm still buzzy. I'm higher than a kite and it's fun.
And last but not least, I just want to say, we don't need to wait another 100 years to do this. I want to do it every year. We should just celebrate the fact that we live in Haines, Alaska. Thank you all for coming.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.